Scotland's First Minister and leader of the National Scottish Party, Nicola Sturgeon, has called for a referendum to assert Scottish independence from the United Kingdom. Sturgeon wants a vote by 2018, when the outline of the UK's Brexit deal will be clear. But to get the ball rolling, she requires the permission of the UK Prime Minister Theresa May. Wire producers Eva Maguire and Miles Holbrook-Walk have more.
In the last 24 hours, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has announced plans to attempt a second referendum on Scottish independence. In a fight for nationalism, Nicola Sturgeon wants a vote by 2018 that will decide the fate of Scottish independence. She believes Britain is dragging Scotland out of the European Union against its own will, and that Scotland deserves to decide its own future.
What Scotland deserves, in the light of the material change of circumstances brought about by the Brexit vote, is the chance to decide our future in a fair, free and democratic way.
This is not the first time Scotland has toyed with the idea of breaking away from the UK. In 2014, Scotland voted whether or not to remain in the UK, and the referendum was defeated 55% to 44%. John Mickler, Associate Professor at the Department of Government and International Relations at Sydney University, believes it is in Scotland's own interest to achieve independence.
It would be in Scotland's interest to vote for independence. I think it's probably also pretty much guaranteed, given the closeness of the vote 3 years ago, given the way the Scottish public voted in the Brexit referendum, and given the way that the post-Brexit referendum negotiations have been handled by Theresa May and Westminster.
Despite Professor John Mickler's views, Tim Harcourt, economist with the UNSW Business School, argues that Scotland would be better off economically if it remained in the UK.
Well, ironically, since they had the referendum where they decided to stay, their economic conditions have made it a lot worse to be independent. The oil price, you know, Scotland's very much an oil-driven economy. The oil price has halved since 2014, and they're growing at just under 1%. They're growing at 0.7% a year compared to about 2% for the UK as a whole. So conditions have really deteriorated since their last referendum. So calling for independence now seems strange compared to calling for it in 2014 when things were a bit economically rosier for Scotland.
Whether or not the Scottish referendum will go ahead is ultimately up to Prime Minister Theresa May, who has accused the nationalist leader of playing political games.
This is at a time when the evidence is that the Scottish people, majority of the Scottish people, do not want a second independence referendum. So instead of playing politics with the future of our country, the Scottish Government should focus on delivering good government and public services for the people of Scotland.
James Cameron, a PhD candidate at Australian National University, believes despite Prime Minister May's tough talk, she and the British government would be reluctant to deny the Scottish people a second chance vote for independence.
I would tend to think, though, that the British government would be reluctant to not allow a second referendum because it would look like the British government was talking down to Scotland and it was bullying Scotland. So I think that the British government would be reluctant to not allow Scotland a second referendum.
As uncertainty builds around Scotland's future in the UK, the push for independence could spread to other parts of the United Kingdom. John Mickler.
The other danger is that also that, you know, after this, Northern Ireland might be the next cab off the rank for similar reasons. And there are really big security questions about that if that happens. So it could set a precedent that would be pretty much disastrous from the point of view of England, but, you know, could really sort of play out in also dangerous ways in Ireland.
John Mickler, Associate Professor of the Department of Government and International Relations at Sydney University, ending that report by Evie Maguire and Miles Holbrook-Walk.